Pray today, if you have your Bibles, you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. We're going to talk to you today a little bit about what makes Easter special. I'm grateful today for the opportunity we have to come together, but today Easter is recognized by many. Many recognize it as a holiday, but very few, or well, I guess there's some that do, recognize it as a holy day. But yet today, a lot of people to Easter, the Easter's thinking and all they did when they get up in the morning, they think about baskets, bunnies, and Easter eggs, and they think about the new Easter outfit they got. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with any of that. I'm grateful today that we can celebrate, and I think it's wonderful today to see folks come in with their Easter outfits and all the things that we have. But friend, the main emphasis today ought to be upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Understanding today that He and He alone is the one that we need to exalt, to lift up above all else. And today the cantata has been nothing more than just being all about Jesus. And I pray today that if you've let God speak to your hearts, you've seen what God is able to do. But Easter is a very special time in the hearts and lives of a child of God. I want to read to you in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. The Bible said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which you have also received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And that He was seen of Cephas, and then of 12. And after that, He was seen of the above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep." Our Father, Lord, today I pray that You would help me. So I stand here today, declare the Word of God. Lord, I pray that You'd help our hearts to be turned and in tune and in touch with what we have to say today. And Lord, I pray that Your name would be exalted, lifted up, and glorified. And we'll thank You for what You do and what You're going to do. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. The Apostle Paul was writing to the church of Corinth, and basically what he was doing when he began to state these verses that I've just read. And sometimes we call these it is the gospel, but sometimes we refer to it as the gospel in a nutshell. I believe if you're going to share the gospel with somebody, you could go to 1 Corinthians 15, read for those scriptures that I just read to you today, and everybody would have a full grasp and understanding of what the Lord Jesus Christ did. But what Paul wanted to do was to convince some people in that day that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. Many of them did not have problems believing that He was alive and that He lived, but they had problems believing that He was the Messiah. And yet today, no matter how much we say or how much we tell, people today still have a hard time grasping the fact that Jesus Christ came to this world to die for sinners, as Paul said, of whom He was chief. And I'm grateful today that He did come, offer His life on the cross for our sin in order that we might have salvation. There's four truths I want to give you out of this scripture today, and I'm going to move quickly, and I want you to listen. But first of all, we must understand that all the things in this scripture ties in together. We're going to talk today about the resurrection, but the resurrection would have never came without the incarnation of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth one day, took upon Himself the form of a servant. He became a human, even though He remained 100% God. You said, "Preacher, how do you explain that?" I don't explain it. I just believe the Bible and understand what it said. But He said, "I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture." Now, He wants us to understand that when Jesus came, He became a man. He walked upon this earth as any other man would walk upon this earth. He experienced things that any other man would experience upon this earth, with the exception of one thing. The whole time He was on earth, He never sinned. He never sinned in any way, shape, or form. Had He sinned, He would not have been eligible to have been our sacrifice. But He came and He lived upon this earth and all the humanness of His being. He described to us in Philippians 2, verse 5 through 8. He said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but He made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Friend, I want you to know today when Jesus came, he came as a man. He looked like a man. He possessed flesh and blood like a man. He grew. He asked questions. He increased with wisdom. He prayed. He was tempted. He was hungered. He thirsted. He was weary. He slept. He was loved. He had compassion. He was angered and grieved. The Bible said Jesus wept. He experienced joy. He experienced trouble, sweat, drops of blood. He suffered, he bled, and died and was buried as a man that came to this earth. And today, Paul wanted them to understand today, one of the greatest examples, I believe, of his humanity is found in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he said in Luke 22:42, he said, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." I want to submit to you today, even though he prayed that prayer, there was never any doubt in his mind that he would not fulfill the will of his Father. And even though as a human, he knew the human pain that he would experience, he knew the human pain that he would suffer, and yet he said, if there's another way, he knew humanly it was going to be a difficult time dying on that cross. But he said, "Father, not my will, but thy will be done." And we know that he continued to do that. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." You know, today Jesus did what any man would do. He wanted to avoid the wrath and judgment. But in spite of it all, he knew God had a plan. And he knew before the foundation of the world that one day sinners would need a Savior. And he knew that someone would have to pay the price and offer the sacrifice. And friend, this morning, if you could just come with me this morning and understand that Jesus Christ not only died and was buried and rose again, and thank God for that, but understand that he came and lived 33 years upon this earth and suffered and went through the greatest agony and pain that any of us probably will never know, in order that he might provide salvation for us. I don't want you to miss today the truth of the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God today, I'm glad he's alive today, but I'm glad he lived back then in order that he could come and give me eternal life. Then there's the truth of the crucifixion. He said in verses 3 and first part of 4a, he said, "I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died and that he was buried." Now, Paul begins to speak of the fact that Christ lived, but then he wants them to understand that Christ died. And friend, if you have any doubt in your mind today whether Christ died or not, let me say this to you. Understand, Jesus Christ ultimately died on the cross and shed every ounce of blood in his body in order that we might have salvation. He did not pass out. He did not faint. He did not swoon, as some people say. Jesus Christ died in order that he might rise again. Jesus was a man who knew no sin. He was guilty of no crimes. There was no valid accusations that could be brought against him. He was tried before Pilate and Herod, and he was found innocent of all charges. Yet Pilate said, in chapter 19, verse 6, he said there was no fault found in him. Even though Jesus was innocent in the eyes of Pilate, the Jewish religious leaders of that day and the majority of Jews would settle on nothing except killing him and crucifying him. They demanded that he be crucified. The life of Jesus, I want you to understand, was lived in close communion with his heavenly Father, God. Jesus loved everyone he met. He healed the diseased. He raised the dead. He calmed the storms of life. The innocent Jesus was scourged mercilessly. He was nailed to a cross. He was spat upon. He was beaten. He was ridiculed. He was mocked. A crown of thorns was placed on his head. A spear was thrust in his side. The multitudes who gathered had no mercy upon him. They demonstrated no mercy upon him, yet he was the one that demonstrated mercy and love and compassion for them. If you remember, some of the last words on the cross was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I want you to understand today that Jesus Christ came into this world and became a man in order that he might die, and die he did. A stone was set at the door as Jesus was buried. And I'm grateful today that Jesus Christ came as a man. I'm grateful today that Jesus died. And in my being, I sometimes when I think of Jesus on the cross and I think of the pain that he suffered and I think of what he endured, deep inside I'm saying, I hate that he had to do that. And I do. But I'm glad he did. For you see, salvation would not have been possible apart from the death of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. The third thing I want you to notice today is not the incarnation, the crucifixion, but then the truth of the substitution. I'm glad today that Paul said, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture." Somebody said, "Why did he have to die? Why did he have to be crucified if he was innocent? Why did he have to do it?" And by the way, that's a valid question, and I believe it's a question that demands answers. But I believe we know what the answer is. Jesus was not crucified because he was guilty. Jesus was not there because he deserved to die on the cross. Jesus was not there because Pilate had consented to his death or because the Jews had cried out for his crucifixion. He wasn't there for any of that. Jesus said he was there to die for our sins. Jesus died in our place to deliver us from the wrath of God. Jesus died that our sins might be forgiven. Jesus died that we might be brought into fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus died in order that we might escape the righteous judgment of God. And friend, I'm not talking about this morning that he did that just for me. I'm not talking about he just did that for the choir. I'm saying this morning he did that for every one of us today. He came to this earth and he died and he suffered not for any of those other reasons except to die for our sin. I like the song, "He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me." Friend, Jesus could not have been held to that cross had he desired to come down. And yet he became our substitute, as the Bible refers to it, a propitiation for our sins. You see, the holiness of God demanded a sacrifice. Somebody had to pay the price. Something had to be done. And Jesus was the only one. And I submit to you again, Jesus was the only one that could provide salvation for you and I. Look to the cross today with me. I know you're saying, "Preacher, it's Resurrection Sunday. We're going to get there, brother." But I can tell you, I want you to look with me right now to the cross. I want you to see Jesus hanging on that cross. I want you to see him bleeding. I want you to see him suffering the wrath of those Roman soldiers. And yet all of that was intended for you and I. Jesus endured our hell. He experienced our death. He became sin for us in order to offer to us eternal life. On the cross, Jesus died. The Bible said in Romans 3:26, "The just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." I'm glad today to know that the Bible said in John 1:11-12, "He came into his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God." I'm still glad today that Jesus is still in the soul-saving business. And I tell you today, I don't know what Easter means to you. I can't look in your heart. I can't determine what's on your mind. I hope today that you're with me and we're looking at the Scripture and you're thinking about Jesus and what he did. Your mind may be somewhere else, and to you, Easter may be more significant in other areas. But friend, I submit to you today, the only reason we celebrate Easter is because Jesus Christ gave his life on the cross for our sin to provide eternal salvation. The cross was God's plan before the foundation of the world. Isn't it wonderful with God? And by the way, somebody said, "Boy, that was something when Jesus came at Christmas and came into this world." Let me let you in on a little secret. Jesus existed before he came. The Bible tells us very plainly that the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I tell you, Jesus Christ left the portals of glory, and God literally had to turn his back on his son in order that his son might give his life, in order that we might be saved. It wasn't the Jews. It wasn't the Romans who pushed Jesus to the cross to die for our sin. It wasn't the soldiers. It wasn't the crowds. And by the way, somebody said, "Why would Jesus say, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do'?" He knew that the will of his Father was being fulfilled. And literally understanding they were doing just what God knew would have to be done to provide the salvation for us. The Bible said in John 10:18, love is what kept Jesus on the cross because he laid down his life so that we might be saved. Friend, don't miss the incarnation. He came as a man. Don't miss the crucifixion. He died. But I want you to understand why he died. And I tell you, there's nobody to blame today for his death except us. Because the Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Do you know there's never a person been born into this world that'll ever walk through the gates of heaven without putting their faith and trust and belief in what we've just shared with you this morning, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care how good you are. Matters not how many times you've been baptized. No matter how many times you go to church. And all those things are good and important. And we understand today that we need to do them. But friend, what we need to understand is Jesus Christ took our place in order that we might have eternal life. I tell you, every day and every year goes by quicker the older you get. And I realize I'm getting a little older, and some of you have gotten a little older, and we know that we're close maybe to the other end of life as we know it down here. But thank God there's a living hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and I, and one day we're going to dwell with him. And then here's what you've been waiting on. There's the incarnation. There's the crucifixion. There's the substitution. But look with me at verse number 4. And the Bible said that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. I'll tell you today, I'm serving a living Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand before me. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. Yes, he lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. And I'm glad today that I don't serve a dead Savior. I serve a living Savior. He died on the cross and he was buried, but don't you leave out the last part. He arose from the grave. Somebody said they came and stole his body. Listen, ain't nobody stole his body. When he hung on the cross, if you remember those other words that he said, when he bowed his head, he said, it is finished. It was finished, all right, but it wasn't over yet because he was a coming back and going to rise victorious over the grave and sent back to heaven to be with his heavenly Father. The grave could not hold him. Death could not contain him. Jesus rose in victory over hell and death. And on the third day, he satisfied the righteous demands of a holy God. And Jesus conquered sin and death for all his people. That's what we celebrate today. What are you celebrating? I tell you, I was sitting there listening to the choir, and I appreciate it. We usually, when the choir, the cantata's going, out of respect for them, we normally don't applaud, and we'll recognize them at the end of the service today. But I tell you, as I sit there, there was a couple of times when they were singing them songs, and I tell you, they were holding out them words, and I could just hear them talking about my Savior and my Lord Jesus Christ. It made me get goosebumps all up and down my back and up and down my spine, because today we're celebrating the fact that Jesus is alive. And by the way, we're the only religion in the world that has a living Savior. All the rest of them's gods are dead, but my God is alive and well. And I talked to him this morning. A group of women went to the tomb on that Sunday morning, like that song Brandon sang Sunday morning. Amen. Their desire was to finish preparing his body for burial. Little did they know the surprise they would find when they arrived. When they got there, he wasn't there anymore. But there was somebody else there. The Bible said in Luke 24, verse 5 and 6, and as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake them words unto the Gentiles? You see, the resurrection sets us apart from all the false gods of the world. You can go to the tomb of Mohammed and he's still there. You can go to the tomb of Confucius and he's still there. You can go to the tomb of Buddha and he's still there. But I tell you, you can go to the tomb of Jesus and you won't find anything there because he ain't there. Hallelujah. He is arisen from the grave. The Bible said that one day he's coming again, thank God. Many worship dead men and worship their tombs. I tell you today, I sure would hate to know that I come to church every Sunday and I had to pray to a dead dead God. They don't get much out of dead gods. They ain't able to do much if they're dead. But I tell you, you can pray to a living God that's able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we could ask or think. We cannot emphasize or overemphasize the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There was a group in that day called the Sadducees, and I think it's quite interesting that they didn't believe in the resurrection. And I tell you, the way I always remembered who they were is because they were sad, you see. Sadducees, they were sad, you see. I tell you today, if you don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you're a sad, you see, because I tell you today, I'm grateful that He is alive and He's well. Had not Jesus risen, He'd be no different than any other dead man. He'd just be buried somewhere in a tomb somewhere, and we might lift Him up as being a good man, but listen, you couldn't count on Him as being God, because He would not be God. God came back alive. He had not conquered the grave. We wouldn't have no hope after the light. Listen, they sang this morning a living hope. That hope is in a man. It's in a man who lived. It's in a man who died. It's in a man who gave His life in substitution for you and I. And the hope of the world is Jesus. And friend, today we need to grasp hold of that. And we need to tell the whole world that Jesus saves. Amen. Yet in our day, we've gotten to the point so well people don't want to hear it. Well, I guarantee you, they'll sure want to hear it when they die without Christ. And it'll be too late. Jesus is the first begotten of the dead. It comes from the Greek word, which the word prototype. 1 Corinthians 15:20 said, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and became the firstfruits of them that slept." Jesus is the promise of a greater harvest which is coming someday. Let me tell you something else. Over in the book of Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 16, it said, you listen, I'm quoting, "For the Lord Himself." Amen. "The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." I tell you, my hope is in Jesus Christ. I tell you, I don't know. I think it'd be interesting. I don't know all how it's going to take place. I think about it sometimes. Sometimes I lay in bed and I just wonder how it's going to be. I don't know. I just thought it'd be interesting to be at the cemetery when He came back. I don't know. I may be caught up so quick I didn't realize what's going on, because it said it'll happen in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. But I tell you, people that are saved and buried, the Bible said absent from the body is present with the Lord, but those bodies are going to one day be resurrected again. And He said the dead in Christ shall rise first. Somebody said because they got 6 feet further to come. I don't know about that. But I know one thing, we're going to all be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. He said in 1 Corinthians 15:51-54, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality, and then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Friend, today rejoice. Jesus is alive. And because He lives, we live also. We enjoy the abundant life that He's brought to all of us. One day we're going to leave this world. I tell you today, I'm like John. "Even so come, Lord Jesus." Wouldn't it be good to see the dead in Christ resurrected on Resurrection Sunday? I tell you, wouldn't it be good today if the Lord just snatched us out of here and took us home to be with Him? Praise God, what a day that would be. I don't know if He'll come today. He could. I don't know if He'll come tomorrow, but He could. I don't know about next year, but He could. But I can tell you one thing, He is coming again. In John 11:25-26, Jesus said unto her, "I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die." What makes Easter so special? It's because of who Jesus is. And if you miss that, you miss the whole thing. Jesus, what He did for His people, and as believers what we have to celebrate today. He left heaven to come live in a world. He suffered shame, rejection, pain, the wrath of God on the cross because the Bible said He loves you. Our Savior took our place, absorbed our wrath that we might be delivered from judgment and reconciled to God. Our Savior rose from the dead to secure eternal life. Would you this morning forget about everything else and let's rejoice today in the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. It'd be good today to share the gospel with somebody that has never heard. Let us rejoice today in His death on the cross for us. Let us rejoice today in His glorious resurrection. Friend, I do not do what I do just to be doing it. I do it because my Savior did for me what I could not do. And I'm glad to be able to serve Him. Let us rejoice in His love for us. If you know Him, rejoice. Your Savior lives. Your sins are gone. You have eternal life. You're a child of God. But if you don't know Him this morning, I tell you, this whole program would be worth everything today just to see one sinner come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And friend, today, I don't know your heart, but you do. I don't know your heart, but God does. And you know today whether there's been a time in your life when you personally have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't ask you if you believed in God. The Bible said the devils believe in God and tremble. I ask you today, have you received Him as your Savior? Oh, you said, my mom and dad, they took me to church. That's good, and I'm glad they did. My mom and dad took me to church, but I'd have died and went to hell had I not one day come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ on my own. And I tell you what I'm afraid of today. I'm afraid our churches are filled with people that are comfortable in the fact of going to church, and they think that everything's okay, and one day Jesus is coming back, and they're going to be shocked because they never put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Through the years of my ministry, I don't know how many people I could tell you that I've talked to, and they said, preacher, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. And I said, tell me about how you got saved. And unless they tell me specifically how they got saved, then I many times have doubt. Somebody said, well, I went forward and joined the church. I signed a card. Listen, joining the church, it'll do nothing to get you to heaven. But the shed blood of Jesus Christ will get you there. Friend, on this Easter Sunday, would you give your heart to Jesus? For He stands willing and ready to receive you if you'll come to Him. And it's so easy that even a child can understand. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you're here this morning, you've been saved, maybe you're looking for a church home, we'd love to have you come and serve with us here. Maybe you've been saved, you've never been baptized. I tell you today, on this Sunday, it'd be a great day to show God your appreciation for what He's done for you. And just come forward and say, I want to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, live for Him, and serve Him. Our Father, we thank You, Lord, today for the privilege and the opportunity to come together. And Lord, thank You for the attentiveness of the group here today. I pray that You would bless. I pray that You would just guide and direct. Have Your willing way and speak to hearts. And Father, I pray that if there's one here today lost, they'd come and let somebody take the Bible. If they just come speak to me, we'll get somebody with the Bible. They can take you right over in the fellowship hall, somewhere else, sit down with you, and show you beyond a shadow of a doubt that you can be saved and born again by the Spirit of God.